This spoiler-filled podcast is recorded live, unscripted, and intended for those over 18. Now prepare your ears for the audio stimulation they've been waiting for all day as we step into
the spoiler room.
Yes, folks, it is another spoiler room. Here we are on February 18th. It is a Thursday, 2016, 1 week from when the official film was released. It is Deadpool we are talking tonight, and I have a great crew to talk about this fun, very R-rated, yes, parents, you hear that right, R-rated superhero film. And tonight, first up, she is the deadly diva, the master of the shoop. It is Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Good evening, gentlemen. Hi.
We're glad to have you in the spoiler room to give your perspective on Deadpool. And next to her, he is packed and stacked, especially in the back. It's the BFD, Glenn Bittner. Hello, Glenn.
How's it going, eh?
Awesome, eh? You sound like a little under the weather there, eh, from that toy fair, eh?
Yeah, a little bit. A little con crud going on.
Well, we're glad you could still join us and push through that con crud to talk about the film. And we don't know how he does the voodoo that he does so well, but it is the one and only Mr. Paul Salzar. Hello, Paul.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad you could join us. And his chimichanga is hot, and he's not shy to ask for the digits. Give it up for Scotty D.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And I am the bull-legged one, Mark the Movie Man. And tonight, yes.
Oh, boy.
We're talking the highly anticipated. You take that any way you like. I know I do.
No, mainstream.
Oh. Is this R-rated film Deadpool? So it's the superhero film that put our films back on the map, if you will, with making what it was it $150 million in the opening weekend.
Something
I think
like
it was yeah. For the box office and made like 200 and something, which is insane for a film like this. But for those very few who may not know the story of Deadpool, it's about a former Special Forces operative who turned mercenary and is subject to a rogue experiment that leaves him with accelerated healing powers, and he adopts the alter ego Deadpool. Yes, this is a love story, folks. Actually, the part that IMDb doesn't tell you is that he has a woman that he loves very much. And after this experiment, well, it left him looking rather ugly, but still with superpowers. But he didn't want to face her being the coward that he was. But the bad guys kidnap her, and he has to go rescue the love of his life. Aw, you can almost see why this story was released during Valentine's Day. Let's go with Dawn first. So, Dawn, was this film more than what you expected it to be?
I avoid a lot of media, especially for these kinds of movies, so that I don't get influenced because it's annoying. I was expecting, I pretty much what I'm expecting Ryan Reynolds to play Ryan Reynolds. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what I got.
But was that a bad thing at all?
No, because, you know, that's what and who Deadpool is.
Mm-hmm. So you felt he was cast well, and he kind of met the expectation of what you kind of expected a live Deadpool to be and act like, in other words.
Yes.
Awesome. What about you, Glenn, coming out of this? Did it meet expectations? Did you have any expectations for this film?
I had expectations. My expectation was that I would get a chubby, and I did. I was expecting pretty much what I got. I was entertained from opening credits to the very last scene of the movie at the end of the credits. So, I mean, I would probably say it exceeded my expectations. I had concerns going in, you know, just because of a certain Ryan Reynolds history with superheroes. But I had faith because this seemed more in his wheelhouse than, say, a Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the character definitely fits the personality that we've come to know as Ryan Reynolds. And yeah, he definitely fit the part very well. What about you, Paul? Coming out of this film, did it meet your expectations? Did it disappoint?
It met my expectations, but it did disappoint me in that it did not exceed my expectations. But it does open the door for a lot of R-rated movies, like the next Chipmunk movies. I'm hoping it's R. Hard R, though. Hard R.
We don't give a chip.
Yes, exactly.
That's the next. We're copywriting it right now. Spoiler Room 2016. We don't give a chip. The R-rated Chipmunk film where they go straight out of Compton style, cover the songbook of NWA, only they will be CWA.
I would so pay for that. I would. Hashtag it.
Hashtag it right now.
Hashtag DeSeville.
And Scott, what about you, sir? For Deadpool, were you disappointed by the film?
No. And I mentioned to Mark when he said, "Hey, do you want to be on the show?" and everything like that. I said, "Yeah, but I gotta just a little bit of background just to give you guys a warning." I'm not a huge fan of the Deadpool comic. Everybody's a huge fan of the Deadpool comic, it seems, and I've just never really taken to it. They've been pimping this movie for years. I'm like, what if it gets made? If it doesn't, it wouldn't really matter to me. And part of that is also because Ryan Reynolds is good of a guy. I'm sure he is. Let's face it, he's got a really bad track record with superhero movies. Well, that test footage leaked, right?
Yeah.
And that test footage, I'm like, okay, that looks really good. That looks really good. Basically, if you saw that test footage and were expecting a movie that was about 105 minutes of that exact tone throughout the entire movie, that's what you're going to get. And that's pretty much what I got. So actually, I would say that my expectations were met and exceeded just a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. I thought the movie was a lot of fun. I had my problems with it. But and so I didn't – while I liked the movie, I didn't love it. Like a lot of people seemed to just go nuts. Like the friends – I saw it with three friends of mine, and they were just like – oh my God! They wanted to hump the theater seats, so. And we're talking men and women. Just each, we're just like, oh my God, the greatest movie ever! And I'm like, it's cool. And they're like, oh, for God's sake, cheer up! But I'm like, so I didn't love it, but I did like it a lot.
And I really got a kick out of it, and that's only because I've been screaming and wanting and hoping someone would bring back, yes, you heard me, folks, bring back the R-rated mature superhero film, because I wanted more, because I don't have a problem with PG-13 to a point, but I think some stories just scream, yell, and want to break out of that shell and go to the R rating, and studios don't let it, because they're afraid of marketing. And okay. So, I was so happy with this one. I came out of this one almost as excited as I was when I came out of Mad Max Fury Road. Not quite, wow. But almost.
Wow.
Excited and entertained, which is what I really ask for out of any film, out of any comic book film. I don't care if you're DC or Marvel. You want to be entertained. Deadpool, I think we can all at least agree, is a mature, entertaining film. But Dawn, as we talked about it, I want to go back to you again. We talked about it after coming out of the theater. This was a mature film, but it wasn't a R-rated film that was trying to appeal to a younger demographic.
Definitely not.
They were specifically going for us, weren't they?
They absolutely were. I mean, between his music choices, his choices of inside humor, jokes about... what was that one? When Deadpool went to the
house?
The school, and he made the comment about...
Alien 3.
Alien 3. Yes. That's that the good. One.
He called Negasonic Teenage...
Ripley.
Yeah. He called her Ripley, Alien 3, and she goes, "You're so old."
Yeah, and most of the jokes were definitely targeted for a specific demographic. I mean, it appealed to a wider demographic, but you could definitely tell he knew what his audience was going to be.
Yeah, and even the soundtrack, right, Paul, if you hear it, there was that riff from Thriller, or from a Michael Jackson. It sounded like it was pulled from Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, Paul, did you hear that as well, the soundtrack?
Yes, yes, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It, again, like Don said, it really does cater to our kind of demographic, our audience. It wasn't the 13-year-olds out there, so right. Of course they had to cater the music toward us, and it was more enjoyable for us, I think.
Which is the one thing that Kick-Ass, I think, did. Don't get me wrong, I love Kick-Ass, but Kick-Ass was like an R-rated film with jokes for the younger crowd. Wouldn't you say, Glenn, whereas this one is jokes for our generation? Would you agree with Paul and Don on that?
Yes, because to disagree would just solely be contrary. no, I absolutely agree. This is definitely for people of, I think, more our generation, especially with some of the pop culture references, a lot of the pop culture references, which some of the reviews I read, that was like people's complaint was that, oh, it's too dated with his pop culture references. I'm like, how old is the character of Deadpool? You know, yeah. how old is he? You would think, I mean, he's not 20. So if he's going to make weird pop culture references, he's not going to talk about stuff that a 20-year-old would. He's going to talk about stuff that someone who's 35 or 40 would.
Exactly.
And not just that, there's specific references in the movie that tell you that the movie is more likely than not set in like 2005, 2006 than it is set in 2016.
Right.
Because he makes specific references to, and again, drawing a blank on what it was that triggered this, but he does make some specific references to things that were very specific to that mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it doesn't...
I want to say it has something to do with the WNBA.
Yeah.
Drawing a blank, sorry.
Yeah, it was something about jumping naked off of a cliff with... or something with the WNBA, naked WNBA women, I think.
I know there was a reference to Honey Boo Boo's mom somewhere in there.
Yeah, there was a reference to Honey Boo Boo stripping, and what's Honey Boo Boo smell like?
Oh yeah, I was blocking that.
You're welcome.
Scott, wouldn't you say, I really liked how the humor was written. I know it was raunchy, but it felt at least that they give a little more thought than just to be raunchy. Wouldn't you say that these jokes at least had a little more thought than, say, some of your other modern raunchy comedies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, well, I mean, and let's not forget, I mean, Ryan Reynolds built his reputation on those raunchy comedies.
Yeah.
I mean, Van Wilder became a cult classic for some people. Waiting became a cult classic for some people. Notice I didn't say for me, but they did.
Right.
And, you know, what I would have been afraid of would have been that they would have just kind of taken that same humor and put it into Deadpool. Just like when Ryan Reynolds was put into Green Lantern, wasn't really his fault, but they tried to turn Green Lantern into Iron Man, saying like, hey, we got a wisecracker in here, you know? No, it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. He said, no, I'm going to do that. We're going to have all the wisecracking humor, but it's going to be Deadpool's wisecracking humor. It's something that you could really picture the Deadpool character saying. I mean, a lot of these things look like they were ripped right from the panels. Mm-hmm. And all the jokes, as raunchy as it got, and as much overkill as was going on, and that's the order of the film, all overkill all the time, it was always true to the character. I never felt like, well, that felt like kind of like a gratuitous thing that they just threw in there to try to get this audience interested or something. I never felt like they went that route with this film at all.
Yeah, me neither. And some of a lot of the raunchy comedies, you feel like it's just in there for the hell of it. So it was refreshing to watch that. Paul, you mentioned you're not a fan of the raunchy jokes.
They were not my favorite jokes. The better jokes for me were the breaking of the fourth wall type of things, the pop culture type references. You know, those type of jokes to me were much more enjoyable than the raunchy jokes. Yes, the raunchy jokes are funny and it did get people laughing, it was probably because of the audience that I had, because we had like maybe five people in the theater when I watched it. And they didn't laugh as much. But it was in the morning. It was really, really early in the morning. But I mean the funniest joke that made me laugh the most was the fact when they take off his mask and then he's got Hugh Jackman's face stapled to his face.
For the love story, yeah, it's stapled. That's what I loved, how it was stapled. You don't catch it at first. You're like, oh, he stapled that to his face.
Make sure it doesn't come off, man.
Make sure it comes off.
That was a little bit of a – I don't want to – and I'm not trying to like ruin the joke or anything. That was actually a little bit of a riff on a joke from an earlier Fox Marvel movie. If you watch the extended director's cut of the 2005 Fantastic Four movie.
Why would you? But okay.
I know. But there's the thing, like where in the theatrical cut you see this, the Mr. Fantastic says, "I know that what you were looking for all these years, a strong man," and he just kind of looks off into the distance, and it's like a weird pause. If you look at the extended, the reason he did that is because of the CGI. He made his face look like Wolverine for a moment, and they kind of did that. And so when they did that, and they had the Hugh Jackman's face on there, like, I liked it because I thought that not only was it funny, it was also kind of like a weird, obscure callback to that.
Sure.
You know, like, hey, we know you had to sit through that piece of shit, but look.
But it's still in Deadpool's character, though. He's always constantly going off on Wolverine or Cable.
Yeah, usually Wolverine or Cable, because they're the closest, especially Wolverine, closest to him as far as the healing in that. So.
Oh, and you know, don't forget his whole thing is that how did he get the movie made? He had to give oral pleasure to somebody. Won't say names, but rhymes with Pulverine.
So we have Ryan Reynolds, who was spot on as expected, and the quote unquote leaked. Don't tell me that was, you know, mistakenly leaked. That was them using the internet to their power, finding out, okay, how would people feel about a mature comic film? Let's release this.
Absolutely. That was totally planned, and it was I think it was a Hail Mary pass because they had tried for so long to get this movie made. And it just didn't look like it was going to happen with the regime. And then there was a regime change, and they said Hail Mary pass. Let's throw this out there, and it paid off.
Well, they were afraid too because of how they mishandled the character in the mishandled movie that became the mishandled not franchise running origin Wolverine, which they allude to in this film as well. I loved how Ryan Reynolds was a good sport and referred to and made jokes of his prior superhero roles in this film, including the line of, "You want us to sew your mouth shut?" You don't want to do that. It's like, there were a lot of that. So his character was good, but I like the characters they got around him as well. I mean, the love story, Glenn, did you like how they kind of actually made it a little bit of a superhero love story with Marina Baccarin? I always mispronounce her name. With her character, Vanessa. Did you like how they kind of worked that in there?
I did. I absolutely did. I thought they did a really good job of that.
It was a little bit unexpected because when you think of Deadpool, you're like, wait, love story? And I thought it actually worked and helped ground it just a little bit. Wouldn't you say, Dawn, that it kind of grounded the story a bit by putting an actual emotional little heart to the film?
Yeah, I can absolutely see that. I really like that they made her as raunchy as he was.
Oh, God, yeah. Especially considering it's her who I've had a crush on since, Firefly. And you get to see a lot of her in this film.
yes. And they're certainly not shy about showing a lot of him.
They're not shy of showing a lot of him. There's a lot of nudity in this film.
As there should be.
Yes, there should be. But it didn't feel gratuitous. Too gratuitous. It felt within the characters that they set up. I don't think it felt natural. And I kind of liked when they were going through the holidays And it got a big laugh when she said Women Appreciation Day. And he was like, no, no, no. She was driving, so to speak.
Pegging.
Yes. And that's what I like, too, is they added that in there, but they didn't dwell on that sexual part for too long. You know, it was in there, but I didn't feel like it overstayed its welcome, especially the fact that they did it as a montage type of thing. I'm like, oh, we aren't really getting any extended long love scenes. We get these short little clips. And then you don't really get any gratuitous nudity to the strip club. So, hey, which I think had the best cameo, wouldn't you say? The best Stan Lee cameo ever. What did you think of that, Glenn? Did you not expect Stan Lee to be in a strip club?
That was a brilliant cameo. But I was expecting it.
Because were you?
The opening credits.
Well, yeah, I mean, you knew he was coming, but did you expect him to be the caller at a strip club?
I would say I expected, but I wasn't surprised when he was.
Sure, sure.
I think that the opening credits, when they said the cameo, I just thought, honestly, I wasn't expecting to see Stan Lee at all because it's not a Marvel movie, it's a Fox movie.
Right.
And, you know, whereas, you know, before the Disney takeover, he was in all of them. Afterwards, he's kind of just been most... Well, no, I guess that's not true. Never mind. But, I mean, I still wasn't expecting to see him. And when I saw Cameo, I honestly, I guess because of the rating, was just assuming when they went to the X-Mansion. I'm like, oh, Colossus, hey. that was it. And so to see him in that setting was great. I love that there's sex and violence in this movie, though.
Yeah, because it's a story that leads it to it, and they didn't shy away from it at all, hold back.
Am I the only one? I mean, I was getting this vibe here. I mean, it's not like, you know, a blueprint or anything, but I mean, certain elements, all, and they're actually given to different people in there. Am I the only one who got a big Darkman vibe from this movie?
Definitely.
to date myself even further, is that okay, like the villain can't feel pain. The hero regenerates and stuff, and I know that shit's from the comic book, but you know what? Fuck you. People that are hypothetical people that are arguing with me right now.
He didn't want to reveal himself to his love interest because he was ugly. He
didn't want to reveal himself to his love interest because he's ugly. There is the love interest. The love interest gets kidnapped. You know, the whole, you know, a lot of the stuff, I'm like, yeah, this movie owes a bit. I mean, it's not a copycat at all, but it owes a bit to Darkman, quite a bit.
If you wanted to put a precursor to this film, it would be Darkman as far as establishing that formula that it came up with, because, yeah, there was a lot of Darkman to this film. Not in a bad way, but, yeah, I could definitely see that. But I liked how they handled the other characters too, especially Colossus and Negasonic Teen Warhead. I thought helped two characters to help balance the Deadpool character, wouldn't you say, Paul?
Definitely. You needed the kind of the righteous character, and then you had to have the newbie character so that we could kind of see Deadpool through our eyes, and it was through her eyes, and it was very interesting to see those two characters. And they did offer up a lot of opportunities for funny scenes, which is, you know, how they interacted was great.
Yeah, the fact they weren't exactly, they weren't all kumbaya Star Trek Next Generation-like, you know? Like I like to say is, you know, the problem I've always had with Star Trek Next Generation was there was no real conflict between the crew, ever.
That's because Gene Roddenberry's utopian society was...
Right, no, I understand that. But, I mean, you know, when you get, you know, even at least you got some of it with Avengers, and here you get that where, you know, Colossus is like the pure guy. He's the true superhero guy who really wants Deadpool to find the path of light and right.
He is the true believer.
He is the true 100% into what Xavier's selling. Negasonic, you feel she's there because, well, this is the only place that's really going to accept her, but she's not fully really into the whole thing yet.
Well, no,
new.
Colossus is very virtuous and stuff, and he'll hurt somebody and he'll subdue people, but he's not going to, like, really kill a lot of people and stuff, and he's very, you know, very chivalrous and everything. Negasonic was killing people just like Deadpool was. She was she squished that one guy
with the car. Yeah,
I'm like holy shit! Like she's like you know. She can if they ever kick her out, she could always be like a sidekick or something, you know. But incidentally, Deadpool is absolutely right. It's the coolest name for a superhero I've ever heard.
Can I trade names? Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
What the shit?
I mean, like, you think he's gonna make fun of it at first? He's like, that is the most badass superhero name ever.
It is.
It really is.
And it's so fitting, too. But I liked how they played the Colossus. I think they did Colossus well in this film. This was the kind of the Colossus people were hoping for in their X-Men films. Glenn, you are a comic expert as well as many of these others here. I am actually not so much, but would you say you liked how they handled Colossus?
I loved how they handled Colossus in this. Mm-hmm. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I loved everything to do with the character because, yeah, he is that much more virtuous type person. And he is in the Marvel Universe, you have a lot of growly, angsty, angry heroes. And Colossus is not that. Colossus is more that, you know, kind of pure and, you know, trying to get the best term.
Team player?
Idealistic?
Idealistic, mm-hmm. Yes, type hero. Where, you know, he's there to do good, and, you know, you don't have to be like Wolverine, where, you know, you have to rip everyone to shreds to be the good guy. You don't have to do that to the bad guys. So, and I thought he was a great balance for Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take more than four or five seconds to be a hero.
4 or 5 moments for you to be a hero, not every day. And then, bam! Sorry, you were taking too long.
And, I love that he pukes. That was the one that actually made that for me because I it was that he pukes.
The Colossus puked. You wouldn't expect him to puke, but yeah, he puked. And so let's move to our villains here, who I thought they actually handled fairly well for a Marvel film. our Ajax character and Angel Dust character. Paul, how did you feel about our two villains in this, say, compared to how some villains were handled in previous Marvel affairs?
Definitely loved Francis. He was a great character. He was a very good foil to Deadpool in the fact that he could just get underneath Deadpool's skin in the way he does. And then the fact that, you know, you could basically impale him and he wouldn't go really down. I mean, he didn't feel any of the pain. It was really nice first because, you know, Deadpool, he can dish out a lot of pain. And so it's really nice to have that Ajax character. And I didn't think Angel Dust was a good foil for Deadpool, but definitely a good foil for Colossus.
Angel Dust was in there for the Colossus to fight. That was definitely evident. And I like that. Powerful, you know, and the fact they picked who they did for it, I think was actually really good casting because you could buy in that she was a stronger, you know, if they would have picked someone that was more built like Vanessa, I don't think you would have bought into it as well that she's a very strong female, just visually. I mean, I'm not trying to be sex. I'm just saying the casting I thought was handled really well with Angel. What'd you think, Dawn, on that with Angel Dust? Do you think they picked right for the character?
Oh, I was half in lust with the less angry Rosie O'Donnell. I'm not gonna argue about impressions about that. I was very disappointed in the film that every opportunity they got, they showed the most gratuitous, the most sexy view of Marina Baccarin that they could.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hardly get any nice full body shots of Angel Dust.
But that wasn't her character, though.
either, though.
It wasn't her character, but when they were panning back on everybody else fighting, they were closing up. They were getting way close up on her.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't a size zero.
Yeah, and you had a problem with that.
I really did.
Though it did make for a fun moment when he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you're beautiful."
Yes.
Wardrobe malfunction.
She has a wardrobe malfunction, and Colossus is trying to cover up. I thought that was great. That was like just this massive fight. They're two beating the crap out of each other, and then he's just like, "Oh, I'm sorry. You're hanging out."
But like, she takes advantage of that situation. It was perfect.
Yeah, she does.
Oh, it was awesome.
She does. But no, I get what you're saying, though, Dawn. If you're gonna sexualize one, sexualize them all, right? I get what you're saying. That they didn't do what they did with her character because most likely because of her size. Though I took that as more of just the type of character she was, because she wasn't quite so intimate, but I definitely see your angle on that.
Didn't sexualize Weasel. Come on.
Well, it's Weasel. Come on.
He could be hot. Oh, sort of.
But he was a great character, too. I loved the Weasel character because he felt like a natural friend, didn't he, Scott, to Wade?
He did. I was a little hesitant to. I was a little slow to come around to Weasel because he just seemed like. And here's your comic relief in a movie where your hero is comic relief, so I don't really see the point, you know.
Right.
But you know, as he kind of went in there, I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. He's not that bad. He's all right. I liked some of the supporting guys. I liked him. I liked Uggams was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was good. Did not realize that she was going to have as big a part as she did. So I was happy that she did.
Blind Al, she was hilarious.
Yeah. Did not think she was going to have as big of a part as she did, and I was happy to see that. I thought the supporting characters were good. I will go back just a second to say that my biggest problem with the movie was the villain.
Oh, okay.
That I thought Ajax was a terrible villain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, in the comics he's good or something like that, you know, but also he's not threatening at all.
Yeah.
And in the opening credits, the opening credits of this movie that we keep on referring to, of course, you know, hopefully you've seen the movie because we're spoiling the shit out of it because that's what the show is called, people.
But
if you remember the opening credits, they always say, you know, it's starring this douchebag, you know, a gratuitous cameo and this, and they say a British villain. Well, I wish that the villain was more than just a British villain, and he's not. He is not threatening at all. There's nothing to the character at all. They don't really even do much with his power of not being able to feel pain. I thought he was so generic that I really thought, yeah, this guy could have been anybody at this point. They could have thrown, even though this guy was from the comic books, like this guy, he's more threatening in the comics, of course. And they honestly could have thrown in any dick in that part, and gotten the same result. They really kind of, I think, missed a big opportunity to give Deadpool a foe worth facing.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with you, Scott, on that one, but. Yeah.
Okay, that's what opinions are for.
Exactly.
That's why I love this show so much, and I love you guys. You all got a difference of opinion. It always surprises me who doesn't like or who likes what. So that's why I always love pulling this group together. So
dropping a car on you later, though.
I badmouthed Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies before we went live. I thought Mark was gonna like crucify me for a second, like, dude. He's like, it didn't suck. I'm like, okay. Easy does it, buddy.
We're all passionate about films. It wasn't the greatest film, though. But Deadpool is definitely a lot stronger than that film.
Yeah, definitely.
That's for sure. Now, I liked all the Easter eggs that they worked in here, and I couldn't believe they got away with doing the carrier
yes.
in here. I just real quick, I just want to touch on that. Glenn, how did you feel about that? Did that surprise you that when they said the salvage yard, you look and you're going, okay, wait, no, that's a helicarrier from Marvel Universe. Like Marvel's movie universe, I should say, versus Fox.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, so much of the movie already had been allusions to mm-hmm. other Marvel movies and other Marvel characters. So having this, it didn't surprise me at first when I first saw it. I'm like, hey, yeah, that's a helicarrier. I find it interesting that, you know, of course, they just have that sitting in a salvage yard somewhere, but
which makes you wonder when this takes place. There was
quite an audience backlash to Age of Ultron, to be fair. So
there's been allusions to, now that it's been talking to, on where in the timeline Deadpool sits, and apparently they're referring to possibly it taking place actually after X-Men Apocalypse. Which would be interesting, though we haven't seen X-Men Apocalypse yet.
Happens in the 80s. Best time.
Yeah, because that was in the 80s. So it'll be interesting to see how this actually played out, you know, in the end as far as the timeline goes. But considering the rift between, you know, they always make the big deal between Fox and Marvel, you know, movies proper, Glenn, did it surprise you just how much reference back to Marvel Studio stuff that they were able to work in there? Or do you think that riff is starting to lax a little bit between the two studios?
I think the riff is starting to lax a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That might just be because Marvel being owned by Disney now, I think it's only a matter of time before they start bringing stuff back under their own roof.
Because
now they've really, really got the money for it. But yeah, I think it's not what it was, you know, years back.
Yeah, it feels like they're starting to see ground, because they're finding ways where I think both studios can make money on this thing. You know, that's why everybody's still hoping someone still tries to do a good Fantastic Four film. And I just say, Roger Corman, just get him back to do it.
Why not?
No.
You know what? It wasn't a great movie, but it's the best Fantastic Four they've made to date.
I like the first one. Well, not the first one, but I guess the second one.
Actually, I should say that because I actually liked this. Mm-hmm. I actually liked the, it, with all its problems, I actually liked the Surfer movie probably a little more.
Oof.
I thought the Surfer movie was better than the 2005 movie. Anyway, we're getting beyond the point. Yeah.
Anyway, the riff is, I've been closing between these two studios, and I think you're going to see a lot more joint type of cross-reference type stuff in this film, films.
But I don't know, because, you know, not so much because of what they're doing on film, but just because of what's going on at Marvel Comics. I mean, do you think it's any – I don't think it's a very big coincidence that in the last year or so, X-Men has been kind of, the importance of X-Men has been really kind of quieted down in the Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. and suddenly the Inhumans, which are basically the same frickin' thing, are now the big deal. Also that they just canceled the Fantastic Four comic book for the first time ever. I don't know. I think they're actually trying to, like, take away the value of the brand a bit,
mm-hmm.
until they say, yeah, this brand isn't worth anything anymore. Hey, do you want it back? Sure.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I think Deadpool is definitely going to be around for a while under the Fox wing after it's made this. So, yeah, I mean, I think we've all entertained by this film and the self-referential stuff in here. Everything, everything that little teaser leaked, quote-unquote, thing was out that promised us, I think we got. You know, it was fun to see them actually let loose and go, okay, like someone said here, throw the Hail Mary. And I think it actually landed, much like the Rodgers to Rodgers pass this past football season. Anyway, Ooh. Sorry, Packer fan work in there.
Yeah.
Thank you. Now, James Gunn did, he saw this, he loved it. We all know James Gunn did great with Guardians of the Galaxy, but he did make a point of, and I wanted to bring this up to kind of round this out because I thought it'd be a good way to kind of close this discussion with Deadpool, is he mentioned that Hollywood is going to get the get it wrong on what makes Deadpool, our very R-rated superhero film, successful. Don, do you agree with that? Do you think they're going to get it wrong and treat the audience stupid as far as, oh, rated R superhero film, we got to make one now?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And in what way? I mean, because we're already seeing it. You know, I mean, you mentioned it with Wolverine. Why don't you tell the folks here, you mentioned it to me with Wolverine on how they started him with PG, and now they're talking about being R.
Yeah, exactly. You can't start with Wolverine. They started him as PG-13. They established that character. Now there's talks of changing him, making a rated R movie of him. That is going to significantly change the character, and that's completely unnecessary because most people already take that the Wolverine character from the Marvel Cinematic Universe is very different from the comic book Wolverine. Mm-hmm. People already accept that. Leave it the fuck be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Glenn? How do you feel on that? On them just spamming now R-rated comic book films, do you think that's going to hurt the R comic book films because they're missing the point of what makes Deadpool a success?
I think it might, I think a big thing that made Deadpool as successful as it's been so far is the way they marketed it. Mm-hmm. Well, one, the character, two, the way they marketed it. And I don't know, it has to be the right material. And if they make something R just for the sake of making it R, I think that's missing the point.
Just as bad as them making something that was an R material PG-13 for the sake of making it PG-13.
Exactly.
It can fall the opposite way. You know, while I am looking forward to possibly more R films, including a Spawn film, which apparently McFarlane is looking at directing. He's got a script done. It would be nice to see an R-rated Spawn live-action film. My concern is, too, that they're going to just spawn these, make it R now because suddenly it's marketable, and treat us stupid. What about you, Paul? I get everybody's opinion here. Paul, what do you think? You think studios are going to treat us a bit dumb and just throw an R on something that they might not have confidence in?
Definitely. That's just the track record of studios. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they prove me wrong because I really do want to see some good quality R comic book. You know, they've tried in the past and they've screwed up. Like Punisher Warzone had a great potential with their R rating, but they screwed it up, I thought. Mm-hmm. What I would love to see more, though, is not having the R-rated movies, but seeing more of the miniseries on, like, cable television, you know, and have a longer run where you run maybe like a Netflix with an R rating would be interesting, because I think you can really develop a character up more, and that's what I think comic book characters are lacking, is that development of characters.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially in a movie. I mean, it's just like translating a Stephen King novel to a movie. You know, the movie versions usually don't do as well as the miniseries because Stephen King, he likes using words. He likes using a lot of words. Exactly. He likes using many, many, many words that burn my eyes. But... because I don't read that much, but still, there's a lot of story there, and you can't really put it in a 2-2.5 hour movie and give it justice.
That's why his short story conversions are much more better for me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think comic books, you know, scream series. Mm-hmm. How about you, Scott? Do you feel that the studios are going to think the audience dumb and say, oh, now we could just slap an R on this and we're going to get lots of seats filled like we did with Deadpool?
Well, first of all, I would love to hear Paul say what he just said about Warzone to Derek Carey, because
he loved it, didn't he?
Yeah. Good God, he like jumped on me when I when I didn't love
it. It's a great film. They had a lot of great moments, but to me, it fell apart in execution. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't like the movie at all. Don't worry about it. No. But yes. To go back to the question, yes, they will screw it up. James Gunn is right on point, and he should know because he's seen it happen multiple times. This is what happens when you have a creative industry that is put in the charge of uncreative people. You get these people who don't understand that all comic book movies are not the same comic book movie, and they try to have a one size fits all approach. It doesn't work. It never works like that because the characters are different. Let's face it. This studio is dumber than most when it comes to this. When I kept on referring to the Fox, that is a Fox movie, that's supposed to be derogatory because they've had a couple good X-Men movies, and the rest has been mostly crap. Fantastic Four, Daredevil, Elektra, oh my God, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And now they say, ho, 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 okay, don't worry, guys, Deadpool, you know that movie. Okay, first of all, we didn't want to make Deadpool. It took 11 years of hand-wringing and everything to get us to make Deadpool. When we made Deadpool, we gave you a budget that was small enough so that we could cover our losses because we honestly didn't think people would want to see Deadpool. But now that Deadpool's a hit, we are going to make all of our movies like Deadpool because we are on top of this now. These people are fucking morons. These people, I wouldn't put them in charge. I wouldn't put these people in charge of my lunch money, much less a $100 million movie. I don't know how they managed to like actually pull off wins for their company ever.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned budget because I was going to mention that as well. That I saw an article to where the makers of it – for a superhero film – Deadpool was $58 million estimated,
which is a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for a big comic book superhero movie.
When your movies now like this are normally averaging $90 to $100 million budgets, the fact that this was $58 million is crazy that they made it like that, and it works. You know, Deadpool even makes that joke. It's like the studio couldn't afford more than another mutant for the house.
That's good. I like that a lot. And it's the director's first movie.
Yeah, and this
holy
is
holy crap.
This is the director's really first feature film, and he did fantastic in it, and showing that, you know, these indie guys are where the talent is. But I read somewhere that the guys writing the Deadpool 2 told the studio they don't want a bigger budget.
Really?
I read it. It was a legitimate article, too. Apparently, the writers of Deadpool don't want, because they're saying, oh, look, it made 58 million. It made horror movie money. This made horror movie money. It was like $58 million to make, and it made $135 million its opening weekend. It's grossed to what, $172 million domestically so far. You know, we'll give you a budget next one of $100 million, and apparently the writers are going, no, please don't.
I actually would understand a reason for that. I haven't read the article, naturally, since I was so surprised. But I could see a reason for that in being that the less studio money you're spending, the less studio oversight you're going to have.
Oh, yeah. If you're making a money like this one, $58 million, you're not going to have the producers, the executive producers and the studio heads sitting in your editing booth like, you know, Joss had for Age of Ultron going,
right.
No, you can't do that. No, you want to do this. Because if it's like only a film that's $60 or $70 million, they'll be like, yeah, okay, we'll send the intern down. You know, the intern who's wearing a Deadpool shirt. You like Deadpool, right? Yeah, you go down and submit. Yeah.
Oh, please, yes! $58 million, please. That's not even my weekly cocaine money.
But I was glad to hear that they did that because I think these films suffer because money is given to them, they will use it because filmmaker is like, no, I'm going to use it. But if you give them less money, I think they get more creative, and you get more creative films when they're on a more limited budget. Wouldn't you say, Glenn, that would you welcome the fact if Deadpool was made on a similar budget to the first one versus a bloated budget?
Yeah. I think they did fine with the budget they had. Mm-hmm. If you go all bloated, then it's do you still have as good a story and stuff, or do you use all that money as a crutch?
Right.
To throw in lots of, you know, Michael Bay-esque explosions.
we don't have enough CGI in here. How much money we got left? 50 mil? Fuck it. Let's go blow up New York. So yes, Deadpool, another film that has come out in the past year that has surprised me that I didn't think would be out on a wide release. And what surprised me even more is the sheer volume of money this film made. And unfortunately, I don't think Hollywood's going to get the right impression of why this film worked the way it did. But I hope they could prove us wrong, but not with that given past track record, which it will just make Deadpool even more kind of special, I think, in the fact that it was a unique film that was an R-rated film that made a ton of money, which doesn't really happen anymore. So I want to thank this crew for joining us tonight. Please like us on iTunes and rate us and comment. That gets us noticed out there. And we're going to go down the line now for the pimpage, as our great Derek Carey would say. And let's hear what you folks, where we can find you at when you're not listening to me babble. Go ahead, Dawn, you first.
You can find me at intheaudience.net.
Awesome. Thank you. And Glenn, how about you, sir?
You can find me on YouTube, Guy in a Bunker, or just follow me on Twitter, Guy in a Bunker.
Yes, folks, if you've been following this show for a while, which if you haven't, shame on you, go back, listen to old episodes. He is now a guy in a bunker. That's versus his old handle, which was a little less Google friendly.
So, certainly didn't want to do an image search.
Yeah, image search yes. Made things interesting, but definitely check that out, Glenn, and go ahead, Paul.
You can find me at WordPress, Twitter, and Facebook at Forsaken Film Reviews. You can also find me or find more information about our upcoming horror festival at www.newhorrorfest.com.
Fantastic. And that's NEW, Northeastern Wisconsin, correct?
That is very correct.
Awesome. So check that out. Very excited for that film fest coming out. There are a number of them out there this year in Wisconsin land. And Scotty D, go ahead. Where can we find you?
The best place to check out everything I'm doing is at moviocrity.com, because that will put I will try to put up all the podcasts that I'm on and all the other shows that I do, as well as printed reviews. And those shows include the show Moviocrity, which you can find at vimeo.com/channelsmoviocrity. And there's also my new kind of much more low-tech and short and sweet show, Reaction Shots, that's on YouTube right now. So,
fantastic. Thank you much, Scotty D. And you can find all links to all these lovely people's works, as always, on specialmarkproductions.com, where you can find our archive of Spoiler Room episodes. You can find the latest Final Cut movie reviews that I do on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/specialmark. And you can also find our reviews on nerdslant.com. We're a partner with them now, and we appreciate that very much. And you can find my other reviews on welivefilm.com. Yes, I am just a movie reviewing slut. So we thank you so much. Hope you've enjoyed your chimichangas while you've listened to us talk about Deadpool. Please, again, rate us, comment, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate your support. As always, here in the Spoiler Room, the conversation is fresh, but we do spoil the movies. Now let's go shoot, shoot, baby, shoot, shoot, baby, shoot, baby.